Die internasionale liggaam Financial Action Task Force of die FATF het die Suid-Afrikaanse regering gewaarsku dat dit Suid-Afrika binne 18 maande op sy sogenaamde gryslys kan plaas as ons nie ons vermoë om finansiële misdade te monitor en te vervolg verbeter nie. Indien dit gebeur sal Suid-Afrika se internasionale risikoprofiel verhoog en die handel tussen Suid-Afrikaanse finansiële instellings en hulle ewe knieë in die buiteland negatief raak. Die FATF is die instansie wat internasionale beleid formuleer om die vloei van geld te beheer en daardeur georganiseerde misdaad, geldwassery en ook die finansiering van terrorisme te bekamp. Hoewel Suid-Afrikaanse banke aan die nodige standaarde voldoen, is daar ander leemtes en areas waarvoor die FATF standaarde voorskryf waarin Suid-Afrika nie voldoen nie. Dit sluit in onvoldoende stelsels by instansies wat nie in die finansiële sektor sake doen nie om onwettige geldvloeie en misdaad te identifiseer en by owerhede aan te meld. Dit is besighede soos prokureursfirmas, eiendomsagente en casinos. Ismail Momoniat is op die lyn. Hy is die adjunk direkteur-generaal in die tesorie. Ismail, thank you so much for joining me. How concerned should we be about this?
Look, what this process is that most countries of the world who want to be part of the banking system, to be able to trade with other countries and relate to banks in other countries, sort of undergo what's called a mutual evaluation, which is an assessment of their anti-money laundering system. It also deals with other issues like terrorist financing and proliferation financing. And this happens once, you know, every 7 to 10 years. And after the process is completed, and this is a peer review, so it's done by people from other countries, and they compare you to all the other countries, whether you're meeting with FATF standards, and they've got 40 standards, for example, and they identify various weaknesses, and then you're given 18 months as a country to address those weaknesses. Once countries know that you acknowledge your weaknesses and you're doing something about it, they can place reliance on your financial system. So if, for example, a U.S. bank, and we often need to deal with U.S. banks because we need access to the dollar to do most of your international trade, they have correspondent banking relationships with our banks. So to make it relatively easy and much cheaper for us to access dollars, we need to make sure that we meet international standards in preventing criminals from using the system to hide and conceal their funds. So they can then place reliance on our system and allow their banks to trade with our banks.
As I understand it, the FATF are happy with the standards applied by our banks and financial system, but there are concerns about institutions in the non-financial sector, and these include lawyers, real estate agents and casinos. You can probably also include car dealerships there. How will these proposed policies change the way these businesses do business?
Yes, I mean, that's correct. Banks were, right, you know, after the FIC Act took effect, were forced to have what we call know your customer provisions. That's why a bank cannot just open an account for any person. They got to look at your documents, confirm your ID and so on. And basic details and have a sense for what your source of income is. When you look at many of these other professions, they obviously don't do a know your customer test. They often are seen to be complicit that they actually hide the money or they look the other way so that criminals can go into a casino and claim that they've won the money when they've actually gotten the money through illegal means, and they use a casino or they use attorneys to conceal the source of their funds, of the illegality. And all over the world, just as with banks, these professions are also expected to meet with minimum standards relating to preventing financial crimes or the abuse of the financial system.
So what should these businesses and sectors expect? Some significant changes to the rules or the introduction of more red tape, if I can put it like that?
Well, it's not really red tape. I mean, I think what happens is the FIC Act does allow, after a process, for the anti-money laundering rules to apply to all those professions. And obviously, mechanisms need to be worked out, where firstly, they have reporting requirements and they don't follow the rule, there are criminal sanctions. But, you know, each sector, depending on who they are either easier or more difficult to enforce these regulations. So obviously, if you're a major entity and you're listed, like a bank or a major company, there's much more, not just oversight, their own shareholders are watching, and there's much more transparency. So they tend to comply, because if they don't comply, they'll be found out quite easily. Once you start dealing with non-listed companies, closed businesses, they tend to be obviously less transparent. They're only accountable to their own owners, and their owners are, you know, maybe one or two or just a few people. And therefore, it's much easier to conceal stolen funds with companies that are less transparent. It's quite a challenge to get them to also comply. And either one needs both the FIC Act or other legislation, possibly, to ensure that they also comply. So, for example, let me give you an example. An attorney will claim a client privilege, okay? But does that client privilege cover keeping the stolen loot of one of their customers in their trust funds? Those are the more difficult questions that we need to deal with.
And somebody pitching up at a car dealership with a suitcase full of cash?
Absolutely. And so, you know, at least most of those tend to run very expensive cars. So it should be pretty easy to regulate, because all cars are registered. So I think that those are the areas we need to focus on.
Dankie, Ismail. Dit was Ismail Mamoniat. Hy is die adjunkt direkteur-generaal in die Tesorie.